everybody. Don't you want to turn your idea into reality? Yeah, don't you? Just get it out of your head and get it on the information superhighway. And you can only do that with Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easy for you to launch your passion project, whether you're showcasing your work or selling your products of any kind. Let me tell you, people, I have created not one, not two, but three websites on Squarespace. Why? Because they have beautiful templates and they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. How many times have you heard award-winning customer support? Never, okay? Because customer support always sucks. They got the good one. All the good people work for Squarespace. So head to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code bonkers, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, paisanos, grab your macaroni and cannolis. We're gonna go see a movie. Manja! We saw Little Italy, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? We're back in the studio talking about a romantic comedy for the ages. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason? And thoughts?
I don't know what this movie is. I'm excited to talk about it. I am flummoxed.
I
have all the questions in all the world.
Well, I believe
Does it take place in the 40s?
I know it takes place in Canada. We'll get into that.
Canadian 40s?
Also joining me, as always, is my other co-host, June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm great, Paul. How are you?
Good. June, you know, you often ask us to do a good romantic comedy. Did you get your wish?
I don't know
what I got.
Oh, wait,
I'm sorry. Is this a good movie? Paul, is this Unspooled? Are we doing Unspooled right now? Is this a good movie?
Finally been asked.
Yes!
This, guys, this is definitely going to make the list of 100 greatest films of all time.
Is this your backdooring us into a podcast episode of Unspooled by telling? What a prank.
Amy is hiding under the table right now. Guys, this movie...
This is wild.
I mean, is this an Italian exploitation film? I've heard black exploitation film. I should be offended by many things. I don't even know what.
Well, listen,
this
is what I wanted to ask you. So, you grew up in an Italian family.
Yes.
Did you ever use the words pa?
Well, I mean, different places. I'm not also Canadian.
Or Madonna mia.
Hey, Mr. Macaroni is coming over with Sister Cannoli, and everyone's going to eat the pesto.
You got you idiote. Everybody is talking with, like, as if every single person in the movie is, like, straight off the boat, 1930s Italian immigrants.
Okay, here's my question. It takes place in Canada.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Yes. The movie is called Little Italy. Yes. Little Italy, New York, that the whole world knows? No.
No.
Little Italy, Canada.
I'm assuming Toronto?
I mean, look, when also, Jane Seymour said, you need to go back home.
To Canada.
Jaw dropped on the floor.
When the movie starts, it's like a sketch of a one-person show.
Yes.
It's like, oh, our Little Italy, we had a bunch of characters. There was old man, Pagliano. They're, you know, like, and it's their little kids exploding firecrackers.
But wait, let's take a listen to some of this opening, because it is pretty great.
So gay with it, shout no lay with it, wow.
If you were to grow up in the best of all places,
it would be our Little Italy. We had the perfect childhood.
To us, Little Italy wasn't just a few city blocks.
Hi, Mr. Vitale.
Hey, Mario.
It was our entire world. We knew everyone.
And everyone knew
us. Can you push pause? Oh, yeah. At which point I was like, what Little Italy is this? I wrote, like, this is not New York City. These are broad boulevards. These are, like, big streets.
Okay.
This is not our Little Italy.
Well, first of all, it's like a ripoff of, like, Goodfellas.
Yes.
But without any of the charm or style of it.
Now, this is a question. Is there a Little Italy in Canada? I'm sure. I'm sure there is.
I'm sure this is Toronto's.
But do they have New York accent?
That's the problem. Everybody's doing a New York Italian accent.
The accents in this movie are crazy. You also cast Hayden Christensen, who is not Italian at all.
Oh, no.
And they dye his hair in this movie jet black.
I want to talk about the hair dye for a long time. I want to spend the majority of this podcast talking about the hair dye they used on these two characters.
This part of the movie right here, where it's like they're little kids, they're causing trouble, appears to be a flashback to like the 1950s.
Absolutely.
Appears to be like The Flamingo Kid.
Or
a movie that is like from the past. And I believe these scenes take place
1999?
In 2008.
Oh, yeah.
No!
1,000,000% because they're just about 10-year-old kids.
They're 10-year-old kids and now they're in their 20s.
Okay, so these flashbacks take place when the internet was around?
Oh, yes! 1,000,000% because
iPhones were around?
Because everyone's still alive.
They all should be on their iPhones. They are, what are they, 10, 12 years old?
Yeah,
they're
10 or 11.
Emma Roberts is what, 25, 20? It's probably like the mid-2000s.
The exploding vegetable guy is still the same guy.
Same guy, unchanged. Unchanged. Nobody changes. You know why? Because barely any of their lives have passed. These children. This
is
not
like 4 years.
It could have been
the olden days. This is not the olden days.
By the way, and this is a pet peeve. I have two pet peeves.
Papa likes mambo.
Bop.
But ooh, this is the song for this.
It should have been Macarena.
Yes, it should have been Mambo number 5.
And so the pizza shop is like the gingham tablecloths, and the checker tablecloths, and like the little flowers, and the parents dancing around. I mean, it is so reminiscent of like the 1940s New York Little Italy that
like
we
basically
all
like that Moonstruck family.
And we are watching all this before we know it's in Canada. And I would say that even with the wide streets, you could have pretended that you were in New York.
Maybe.
Why were we in Canada?
Yeah. Maybe.
What? Like, I know that there was a tax credit along the way, but then someone had to say, Little Italy in Canada.
Yeah. Why did that become the thing? But then I feel like—
Well, I did notice it was sponsored by Air Canada.
Oh, yeah. Air Canada gets one of the biggest credit cards at the end of the movie when you're watching the bloopers. Did you watch the bloopers?
No.
Oh, you missed out. The bloopers are really worth the price of admission.
This is an Air Canada production.
Do you think the majority of this was filmed like on an Air Canada flight?
But weirdly, when Hayden Christensen's dating that girl, she is like from like Airplane Airlines. I don't know, but
it is. Everybody talks like they're a 1940s New Yorker.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Everybody. Danny Aiello. Like everybody.
Danny Aiello, I think, is the only Italian person in this movie.
No, Alyssa Milano's Italian.
Okay,
there are other like.
I would say
Italian.
If you were to look at a ratio chart.
It's few.
I would say they're in the minority.
Well, that's why. Okay. So to just go back to the hair dye for a second.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Our two leads look like shit. For the majority of the movie, they look.
There was a moment where I was concerned.
Undead. They look unwell.
Hayden Christensen, right?
Yes.
In particular, looks like sallow.
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't look like a well man.
No, and I've seen him after this film, so I know he's fine. I don't know what was happening with the makeup there because there's a point where I was like, is he a junkie? Because looked like his teeth had even a gleam
to
it.
And the hair dye, what was so strange about the choices they made to make people look Italian was they could have, I mean, he is a blonde. They could have just dyed his hair like with some darker highlights to just sort of give him a little more color on his hair. They dye his hair from like a CVS box jet black.
Yeah.
Oh, and then.
Jet black.
And then they have the audacity to put him in a scene where it's pouring rain. And I'm like, this hair dye is going to run. I mean, like he is going to.
Well, I think it was permanent, babe. I don't think it was.
You don't think they spray it on every morning?
I would love it if
they were painting it on every day.
Exactly. That would be amazing. I felt like I over and over I wrote, is this a sketch?
Right.
Like because it was so so over the top that they were aping all of the Italian stereotypes and archetypes of these movies.
Like, I mean, like putting firecrackers in fruits and vegetables. I mean, every...
one of the classics.
Yeah, one of the classic bits.
But like to the grandparents, to the making of the sauce, to the everything.
Ooh, you gotta squeeze the tomato like a man, but don't squeeze them too hard.
Mangia. Everybody's doing crazy Italian accents as well as New York accents, while also all being in Canada.
Oh, and
nobody has, not a single person in this film has a Canadian accent.
Sure. No, they don't have a Canadian accent. They don't talk about immigrating to this country.
Nope.
They don't talk about nobody. There isn't a single person in this movie who has a computer or a phone.
No.
Oh, you're right. You're right. No one is ever on a phone.
Which makes me think, honestly.
She's on a computer when she's making her menu, which is like... When she makes her menu for her restaurant, yes. I mean, that menu is...
She's just like dragging like...
Word art.
Like
fucking Denny's menu. How many menus have you...
Like Clippy's going to jump out and be like, it looks like you're making a menu for a new restaurant. But can I help?
I mean, I'm not trying to be elitist here, but when you go to a fancy restaurant, there are not normally pictures, glossy pictures.
No, giant picture of an eggplant. Okay, the craziest thing. So I started to think after a while, because nobody has any connection to the outside world, and she keeps on referencing, like, don't you guys want to get out of here? Mom, did you ever want to leave here? Maybe there is a little Italy in Canada where they have no concept of the other little Italy in New York City.
Wait a second.
I love this.
So you're saying that they are...
They think they are little Italy.
That they are the main one.
They are the only one. The only little Italy.
Are you guys familiar with the movie The Specialists?
Oh, yes.
I believe we need to do on this podcast.
It's on our list.
Is it Travolta that's in this movie?
I thought it was Stallone.
It's two men who are brought to a new city to like start a new club.
Oh, no. Yes, it's Travolta and that guy. Yes. Yeah, yes.
To start a new club and like be American and it's awesome and blah, 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 blah. And what they realize in the movie is they've been secretly taken to Russia and are training like Russian spies to act like Americans. Like this feels like
It's called The Experts. I watched it all the time.
Because here's the thing. There is no way in Canada.
I love that movie.
There's no way in Canada that accent, I feel, would ever come to fruition.
Again.
Like that accent wouldn't find its way from an Italian language married to a Canadian accent.
The only way it could exist is if part of the extensive voiceover was like, our dads met in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. They came from Italy. And then they moved here to Canada.
Although that would imply that every Italian around them, like her girlfriends, are also picking up from that one accent.
I agree. You're right. Because everybody's acting like they're straight up in hardcore Italian Brooklyn in like the 1940s.
I mean, and again, we're saying this movie, by the way, this movie came out this year. 2018.
Paul, I'm picking off my earphones.
It's a current movie.
Yeah, I am leaving this studio.
This movie, you can't even...
What are you saying?
When would you have guessed this movie
2002?
This movie came out this... last month.
Yeah, last month. It was in the theater for like a day, and it just came on iTunes. That's the reason why we're talking about it. It literally just came on iTunes.
I wish June's facial expression could be projected.
It came out September 21st. June is upset.
June is aghast. I think the only word is aghast.
You look like you've just seen someone get murdered in front of you.
June, it looks as though June is seeing a ghost.
I am stunned to my core. I am shaken like a rattle inside my body. I am so shocked right now. I don't know which end is up. I don't know anything. What?
Yeah, September 21st, 2018.
This movie was probably in production.
Weeks ago.
It came out in theaters. This movie was in production a year ago. In Canada.
I mean, and so
oh,
we have to talk about, I mean, consistently throughout this process.
So you can't even blame, like, it's like systemic racism on it being from 20 years ago.
Okay. Right. Here's the reason why I thought it was from, I don't know, at least 5 years ago.
Okay.
So a big part of the movie is Leo, one of Hayden Christensen's part. He wants to update his pizza restaurant.
You're saying it Leo?
Leo?
That they Isn't pronounce it
Leo?
It,
Leo.
But they pronounce his Italian family calls him Leo.
Okay. I don't
think they you've call been, him Leo.
I think you've been married to him. Paul for too long. Yeah. it's rubbing off.
Yeah, I mean, they're not calling him by...
They call him Leo. The grandma constantly refers to him as Leo.
Princess Leo.
So he wants to update his family's restaurant and bring it to, I guess, this current year, to this September.
Can you tell him how he wants to do that?
He wants to do it. And this is why I thought it was so dated, by creating a pizza app.
Pizza app.
An app. And
a podcast.
Yeah.
Wait, he says podcast?
Yeah, maybe I just made that up.
A pizza podcast I'm all in on. But the app for a small 6-seat Italian restaurant seems like an incredible waste of money.
What could ever be on that app? Just a delivery service?
Look, we order from a place here in Los Angeles called Tomato Pie. They have an app, but they also have 4 locations. So that at least justifies something.
Man, to spend the money developing an app...
would be crazy.
Unless you're doing other content. And I guess that's why I thought you said podcast.
Do you think that they were going
to
do like
you have to be generating some other series, online community.
Maybe some web series, some cooking classes.
I don't know.
He also has like really unique, fresh ideas for new pizzas.
Oh.
So he is not only like just a straight up great businessman entrepreneur waiting to happen. He is like a professional level chef waiting
to
happen.
But that's the problem I have with the timeline of this movie.
He's
Jason.
Also crushing pussy.
Okay, but here's the thing. They react to the idea of putting a fig on a pizza. This is why the world feels so strange and so isolated,
right,
as though it's the craziest thing they have ever heard of.
Yes.
Well,
I mean, they would put a fig on a pizza.
That they would ever dare
again,
to put a fig on a
pizza. Are they not allowed out? So you're believing that they're not even allowed out of the area of Little Italy.
All I know is that she keeps on asking people straight up, why haven't you left? Why don't you want to leave?
Yes.
And nobody has a great answer.
And I believe you when I say I think that perhaps people in Canada aren't allowed to experience other kinds of pizzas. Like the idea of a fancy fig laden pizza, of course, in New York exists in the late 90s. But in Canada, Little Italy probably doesn't even yet exist. This movie
they
haven't
even
gotten invented.
Figs. Here's the
They're
thing.
They're just getting sushi right now. They're just getting sushi.
To all our Canadian listeners, fuck you.
But when we talk about things being like Little Italy, Little Korea, it's usually adjacent to a giant city.
Right.
What is this?
I'm assuming this
in reference to what?
I'm assuming this is Toronto.
So
I'm assuming this is Toronto's Italian
neighborhood.
So
you're telling me that in Toronto, they don't have any pizzas that have
according to this movie, they have only ever had cheese on a pizza until 2017.
Let me just throw one thing out at you guys. This movie was also directed by the director of Mystic Pizza.
No!
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Does he only make pizza-based movies?
Wait a minute.
What?
I almost brought up Mystic Pizza as a reference.
Because she's wearing the shirt that Julia Roberts wore.
Are you kidding?
Yes! No, I'm not kidding. No. No! No, it is directed
by... Can I ask you a question? Yeah. Did that person make Slice? Another pizza-based movie?
No, this guy has a very interesting career. He has he made Opportunity Knocks with Dana Carvey, Grumpy Old Men, Richie Rich, my favorite Martian, Miss Congeniality, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Welcome to Mooseport, Just My Luck, My Life in Ruins, and Atlantic Gold. Like a bunch of good movies.
When I saw Mystic Pizza, I fell completely in love, like true crush, young, I have a crush on this woman in this movie who to me was so beautiful and so exciting to watch and it was Annabeth Gish.
Oh, Annabeth Gish.
Julia Roberts. I was like, who cares about Julia Roberts?
I'm on a Gish
Give
tip
me
too.
This Annabeth Gish.
See, I felt that way about
This Gish is going to make me gush.
The scene between Gish and the babysitter's dad, yes! the babysitting dad.
Yeah.
Is one of the best scenes. I mean, I could not get over what I was watching at that tender age.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And she's incredible in it.
And still incredible. Love.
America's sweetheart, everybody says.
Look, we love, I like an Annabeth.
She could have been Pretty Woman.
I like an Annabeth Gish. I like a Jamie Gertz. I feel like these people need Jamie Gertz.
Don't. Come on. Jamie Gertz was everything.
She was now we're back
to ladies of the 80s. Back to ladies of the 80s.
Did I already talk about this on the podcast that I created a fake Jamie Gertz fan event at my Blockbuster Video?
What?
You have talked about that. Okay. Not the first time I'm hearing of it.
Okay, all right. Well, there you go. Let's do an old episode and retell that story that very rarely comes out.
Jamie.
All right,
Gertz.
So.
Beth Gish.
But when we're
Gish and Gertz.
When we're,
by the way, I'm going to pitch a movie.
Gish and Gertz?
To both of them. Gish and Gertz.
It's the new Kathy and Lacey. They would be great together. And use Thelma and Louise. Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the show to hear a word from our sponsors. And you know what? The first thing I want to tell you about is these amazing t-shirts that we have in our store. Remember we were doing Jason Statham, Los Angelino? Well, we have an amazing Statham shirt that you can get at tpublic.com/stores/HDTGM. They are awesome. I think you will love them. And you know what else you're going to love? You're going to love when you look fucking good. That's right. With blacktux.com, you are taking the guesswork out of what to wear at your next function. Here's the deal. Guys, I know that it's hard to have the perfect suits. Do you have a tuxedo in your closet? No, probably not. Why would you need it? You need it only once, every 2 years? This is where Black Tux comes in. They are going to be able to ship to you the finest looking tuxes and the best looking suits. You get to rent it, okay? And you can blow it out for your one-time big event and then return it back. Okay, it's so easy. Plus, Black Tux has a free home try-on period where you can see the fit, feel the quality of your suits months before the event. So that way you know when it comes, it's going to fit you perfectly. And after ordering, you can get your suit 14 days before the event, so no stress. It's going to definitely be there. And if anything is less than perfect, Black Tux will send you a replacement one right away. I can't tell you how much I love this idea simply because it's something that I always need. I don't want to buy a new suit, but sometimes I have to get a new suit. I'll tell you, I do a lot of red carpet stuff. I don't mean to brag. I can't wear the same suit twice. I got to switch it up. And this is where Black Tux comes in and is so helpful to me. But think about for you. You want to go to a wedding? Look good. Don't wear that same suit that you wore to the funeral or vice versa. You want to go to the funeral with the suit that you wore to the wedding? Come on, people. It's time for you to experiment and try different styles and suits. And it's a great way to see what actually looks good on you and how people respond to you and something that isn't just off the rack, okay? So let me tell you something. Look good for the rest of your life when you sign up at blacktux.com and you're going to get $20 off your purchase if you go to blacktux.com right now and enter the offer code bonkers. That's the blacktux.com code bonkers for $20 off your purchase. People, this ad supports our show, so definitely check it out. The Black Tux, premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered right to your door. I love John Lovett. You love John Lovett. He is from Pod Save America. And his show, Love It or Leave It, is so damn good. It's a fun weekly news wrap-up roundup where he is joined by comedians, journalists, activists, elected officials, and actors, not the annoying ones, and musicians to break down the latest news. And you get to quiz the audience and mock the endless frustrations and absurdities of our broken political nightmare factory. I have been on this show. It's what you want real time with Bill Maher to be. It's kind of more akin to Politically Incorrect, but it's way more inclusive. John Lovett is an incredibly smart guy and a funny guy. You know him from our Garbage Pail Kid episode. And I think this is a great way to digest news. I think we have been listening to so many sad news stories. And this just puts a little pep in our step. At the end of every week, you get this presidential speechwriter and comedy writer, John Lovett, who brings a unique combination of humor and analysis to help us understand and laugh at the news instead of hiding from society until the climate changes or a Democrat wins. There are games, there are rants, musical performances, and more. New episodes drop every Saturday morning. Subscribe to Love It or Leave It now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. I guarantee you, it's the most fun way you'll hear your news all week. Talk to me about the fact that when we're introduced to Hayden Christensen, it seems to me that he's just a delivery boy.
Yes.
He doesn't seem to be the chef. He doesn't seem to be, you know, and so that's what I found to be so weird. He just seemed to be the person they would send out.
His relationship to the pizza in the setup of the movie is that he loves delivering the pizza so he can fuck the women who are there to get the pizza.
Sure.
But yet he
loves his only connection.
But yet he loves pizza so much, he's installed a very expensive pizza oven in his apartment. Like, I mean,
not even in his apartment, in Luigi's apartment.
That's Luigi's apartment?
Yes. Yes, he's living with Luigi now.
I didn't realize that.
Can we talk about when he goes up to Luigi's roof?
The rooftop garden?
Yes. Did you notice something interesting about it?
All the random lamps?
Yes. There are so many lamps. Every time you look, and I know this is a visual thing.
These are indoor lamps. Yes. That are just like have all been painted and are just on the rooftop.
Listen, in Southern California, the design aesthetic is all about bringing the indoor outside and, yes. and the outside inside. But in Little Italy, Canada, I feel like the weather conditions year round
June, we were in Canada. Remember how cold it was? Our children refused to walk outside. They're like, it's too cold. When you would breathe, it would hurt your lungs.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a place where you have, I'm counting right now, 15 indoor lamps.
Indoor lamps that are outdoor. Yeah. Oh, wait, is that the roof?
That is the roof.
These are all indoor lamps, shaded lamps, table lamps,
shaded lamps,
desk lamps. It's the kind of thing that, like, they're using as light for the movie. But if you think about it, like, the first time it rained, that would cause an electrical fire.
Oh.
Instantly.
Absolutely. Amazing. I mean, definitely. But, I mean, I guess the thing is that their chemistry was so good that you weren't even looking at that kind of
thing. You don't even notice all the lamps. This place is, like, drowning in lamps.
I found their relationship to be confusing.
Yes.
Because she comes back to Canada and doesn't seem to have any, like, she's not upset with Canada. She doesn't race to get back. There doesn't seem to be any, like, movement, like, well, I'm not only here for a couple of days. She seems to be like, I'm back in. Here
we
I go.
We also never get a satisfying, the movie starts with this flashback where they're like, teenagers, 12, 13, yeah. somewhere in that zone probably. They're playing soccer. They're lighting firecrackers. They're like, they're the neighborhood best friend kids, right?
Right.
And then
they play soccer together. They play a team sport one-on-one, which is the dumbest thing ever because one person always has to be the goalie.
And they're obsessed with who's the winner and who's the loser. And the setup is always he's just shooting on her.
Yes.
Her only ability to win is to block.
I was a soccer player.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Traveling soccer player.
Yes, and an athlete in general.
Okay.
That scene where
I know this to be true because June's dad spoke about this at our wedding, was one of the big things that he highlighted, the proudest really? Accomplishments were your traveling soccer and basketball accomplishments. And
yes, he spent the majority of his speech just going over my stats. As an athlete.
I do remember him passing out homemade cards, player cards.
But it was like a Bo Jackson card, like on one side you were baseball and the other side you were football.
So I recognize, you know, I mean, and listen.
Game knows game, is that what you're saying?
If you looked at me right now in my physicality, you might not automatically think that's an athlete.
Elite athlete.
No, yeah. You might. Oh. That might not come to mind. Or maybe it does.
It does for me.
Maybe it does. Okay, yeah. Great. But if put on a court, if like push came to shove and I was having to play one-on-one, whatever, I do feel like you would see something would come back.
Those skills, there's a history that muscle memory. There.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. When Emma Roberts is playing soccer.
In the rain.
She looks so deeply uncomfortable and out of her league.
Yeah.
And like she has never, not a single time once, played a game of soccer.
And Hayden Christensen is not only in the film, is coaching the soccer team. And then basically he's like, let's go outside right now and let me kick these balls at you.
Well, that's the thing is, like, he's drilling shots at her. And you're right. I noticed the same as I was also captain of my high school soccer team.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, I played soccer for like a couple years.
She has none of the skills, none of the instinctive skills to of a keeper, right?
Right.
So, and it's hard to be a keeper.
It is very hard. When they're kids, it's fine. But when they're adults, he's just drilling shots straight at
her. Well, she hasn't been playing for years. She's going making food. But why, first of all.
Oh, I want to talk about the London.
Oh.
The best line of the whole movie. The line that made me legit laugh is when Jane Seymour is walking down the line and Gordon Ramsay and everybody's food, and she hands a woman two pieces of a split loaf of bread, which the woman then has to put on either side of her head. And Jane Seymour says, "What are you?" And the girl goes, "A moron sandwich."
Oh,
I was like, a moron sandwich was the funniest fucking part of this movie.
And by the way, that's in like minute 2:30.
And then it goes downhill from there. But at that point, I was like, oh, we might be in for a really fun ride.
But why did she leave? We never got, sorry, I've all of this buildup, which is to say, like, we never understand
why she left.
Why she left to go to England in the first place. And why are we rooting for her to stay or be home?
To kind of put some markers on it, she was obsessed with him. I guess he didn't know that. So I think she went away because she was like, I am too into him. I need to like get out of town.
But they never, they only, I thought they were exes. First, I thought they were siblings. Then,
yes,
then,
which is troubling for a romantic comedy.
Well, but I was excited to see a sibling movie.
Yeah, I was excited to see
not a romantic movie.
No, sibling movie. Yeah. I feel like they're underrepresented.
I was excited to see a sibling movie that might have romantic undertones. which is no big deal, a category on Pornhub. They were not siblings.
Right.
They were not former lovers or exes. They were just, you know, she just in voiceover, like, has an aside about, like, needing to get away from him or no wonder I had a crush on you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and it's as if he's the love of her life when she sees, he does the double take in the bar.
Oh, it's the best.
The greatest double take. Please, fans, edit together that double take just over and over and over again.
I mean,
they
really pump it from from a directing standpoint and an acting standpoint. Everyone is bringing their A game on this double take. And then, and again, just to get me back to the scene that I really want to talk about, he sees her and his first instinct is, let's get out so I can drill balls at you. And someone says, hey, it's raining out. And you think, oh, maybe it'll be a light mist. They shoot this fucking thing in disaster movie rainstorm. Yes. I mean, first of all I could think of, how miserable is every actor on that day?
Every actor. And not because not just our leads go to the soccer field. All of the patrons of Luigi's bar.
Yes.
Without an umbrella to be
there's
seen.
A couple umbrellas in the background, but most of them are completely just getting drenched, and they're so excited about it. It seems like the entire bar, the owner, the bartender, everyone leaves to go out to the soccer
field. I guarantee everybody got sick on that that shoot.
I mean, I've never been more uncomfortable than in rain shoots.
But we're supposed to understand, and this is what's confusing, because it all pays off in the end when I guess she lets him win the final pizza contest?
Well, because she always says, admit it, you let
me win?
Or you never let me win? But I never understand, like,
I believe she would always win, but he would say, I let you win. And then she would say, you didn't. Or, like, wasn't
okay,
that
but then in the rain soccer game, he's not letting her win.
No, and he's, in fact, winning. He scores on her way more.
She never
She saves three.
For those of you soccer fans out there, if you're listening to Men in Blazers, you've just come over here. This is kind of a little crossover talk.
I'd love to talk English Premier League right now.
Get Franklin Leonard back
Arsenal.
Over.
Arsenal.
So this whole movie is predicated on this unrequited, super passionate love, but he never has to come to it. She never has to come to it. Their breakup, I literally was like, when they got like upset with each other.
Yeah, what's their end of the second act fight was, I wrote, why are they mad at each other?
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out.
No idea.
I mean, I'll tell you.
Sorry, I just want to go back to the in the rain scene.
Yeah.
They all go out to their thing and they're starting it up. And she's got two like wildly stereotypical Italian like girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, you set this up. And they're like, I don't know. They're like crazy like Italian.
I hear those men in London really get you hot. Oh, well, like, he's an investment. He was an investment banker who had a sizable portfolio, but didn't know how to manage it.
Yeah,
is that how you ladies talk to him?
What's so crazy about that scene is they literally sit down for 1 second with her after not seeing her for five years and immediately hound her on like the graphic details of her sex life.
Yes.
Who you and, fucking? Which are bad. How are they dead?
Terrible.
Which are bad. Like apparently like she like straight in a row says three negative things about the men in England. Like trashes them about going down on girls.
Oh,
about
yeah.
Their, trashes them about their dick size.
About their dick size and use and able to, abilities to use it. She's like, they get into it. Anyway, they go out to the soccer field and her friends are like, yeah. And then one of her friends, they cut to her receiving a phone call because she says, oh my God, little Sal's got diarrhea. I have to go. It's like, why? Why are they?
Why do that?
Why are they explaining that the friend needs to leave? Who cares?
She's like, I'm not shooting this rain scene.
By the way, if she doesn't want to be in the rain scene, like, she doesn't have to be.
But there are some amazing things to watch. Like, I guess there's, like, a famous story of, who's the guy in Lawrence of Arabia, Peter O'Toole, who said that, you know, whenever he would be in a big group scene, he would try to find a way to hide himself so he didn't have to be with the big group so he could, like, do less coverage. And in this movie, when you watch it, like, Danny Aiello is always like, dip, 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 dip.
Yeah.
He has one shot that's isolated, or they, you know, they got him in this thing, but especially at the airport at the end, he is so far away from that group, not a part of it. And I watched stuff like that. I watched the extras. There's a guy holding a sign at an airport. I couldn't get over him. Everybody, just watching the one pass of just extra work on this movie is amazing.
Oh my God.
When Danny Aiello says, sausage and peppers, that was my nickname. Ew. Like,
what
like Mr. Sausage, I get? Whatever, but sausage and peppers. Like,
what are the peppers?
I think sausage is the penis, is peppers are the balls.
But why are the peppers the balls?
I wouldn't want to be called sausage and peppers.
I usually say that. Ooh, careful with the peppers.
Do we think that they... are we to believe...
Turn the sausage.
Don't burn those peppers. Lick the peps. Bite the sausage.
Ooh, careful with those peppers.
Oh, those peppers are very sensitive. The skin on those peppers.
That's a spicy pepper, huh?
What are these seeds doing in my peppers? I gotta put on my junk trunks to protect. I gotta put on my junk trunks to protect my sausage and peppers.
Junk trunks was crazy.
Is that a phrase that has ever been uttered?
I guess
before?
Probably. It's probably drunk. It's probably Canadian slang.
Oh, and are we to believe that in Canada people also hate all Indian people?
Yes, that was the other thing where I was like, this movie is new. This is a recent movie.
Yep.
For it to have
days old.
1980s era stereotypes is crazy.
I mean, they call one of the characters Slumdog.
He goes, "Jai ho, Slumdog." What?
And then
So the my favorite character in the movie was the Indian girl Jesse's, I don't know who she was, but I thought she was one of the stars of the film.
Yes.
I would watch a whole movie about her.
So one thing we've not even broached is the plot of the movie, which is that Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts' fathers were, the reason they're best friends is because they were all family. Their fathers were best friends and had their own pizza place. And so blah, blah, blah. It was family, the whole family under one roof, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the cold open, the fathers get into a fight and separate. And so now they have...
After winning the best pizza competition.
Right. And so now they have side by side. Yes.
Pizza competition and bikini contest. No big deal. Put them together. A little spice and a little nice pizza.
But male and female bikinis, although the men's,
I appreciated
the men's bikinis are more bike shorts, but that's fine. And then, so then they have side-by-side competing pizza restaurants, yes. And they are in a feud, okay? Right.
It's a very, you know, you could simplify and say it's a real Romeo and Juliet situation.
Sure, in a pizza place. But each pizza place has its own Indian work, employee.
They split down the middle, because I would say that one of the things that was so confusing to me was that first scene, there are eight people working in one small pizzeria, and I was like, there's too many people here.
And no client, no customers.
Yeah.
I feel like all you need in a pizza place of that size, that square footage, is one person making the pizza.
Yep.
A single person, one person, maybe not even waitressing, because
this
it seemed
like
to
a
be
business
pick,
plan right now.
It seemed to be like
get
a
Marcus Lemonis on the phone right now.
Marcus, call us.
And then one person, really two people, one person at the cash register and one person making pizzas.
Yeah, this is it. And if Marcus Lemonis was coming in to say this, he would say, you need to mend this feud and get back together because this was never better than when you did it together.
Because he would say process product.
That's what we're doing.
What we got.
That's what, guys, I'm not even kidding. Please, if you're out there and you know Marcus Lemonis.
He's tweeted at us.
That's fine that he's tweeted at us, but we need him on the show.
Oh,
we need
come
him
to the
on
show.
This wow. show.
He wants to come on the
Did
show.
He's in Chicago, right?
But he's in L.A. a lot.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, next time we go to Chicago, I want Marcus Lemonis on this
we
show.
We should find like a movie like a big business where someone's stuck, like the worst, like a bad version of Baby Boom.
Yes.
Like, you know, and then be like, what did she do wrong with the baby?
Also, Marcus, if you agree to come on this show, you can be 100% in charge.
You play the sound clips. You tell Devin when to hit the theme song.
This is a dream come true for me. You have no idea.
Marcus, you run the show.
You do the ad reads. This movie, but even between the two Indian
all the ad reads
workers.
Are for Marcus Lemonis businesses. He's like, CarMax.
Sweet Pete's.
Sweet Pete's.
The simple Greek.
Dad bags.
Oh, come on, Marcus.
Oh, my goodness.
Camping world.
We love Marcus Lemonis.
We love you, Marcus Lemonis.
Just so you know, there is an episode where we talk about Marcus Lemonis. We cut out, I would argue, 20 minutes of that conversation.
Did we cut it out? We got to put it up as an extra.
I mean, we've got about 20 minutes. You were not there that night, June, but we went deep into Marcus.
I didn't even know you watched the show, Jason.
Of course, I watched the show.
Do you watch the show just because he's Greek?
Of course. Well, contractually, I have to watch all shows of Greeks. That is part of the deal. And also because, you know, that's all my family wants to talk about is any and all Greek shows.
Would you make a version of this movie that's like a Greek-centric version of this
movie?
It's
called My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
And Andrea Martin in both.
Andrea Martin is in both. Andrea Martin, I was going to mention that at one point, but Andrea Martin is the grandmother, has now played stereotypical ethnic grandmothers of Greek and Italian descent.
She's Armenian, and she's also from Maine.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And doing amazing work.
Listen,
I thought she was
Alyssa Milano.
So good
like, I thought Alyssa Milano was a breath of fresh air.
She was great.
In this
I appreciated her a lot. I really did. I actually liked the two brothers, too, Salvatore and Vincenzo. I actually don't think that there were any. Like, I don't know. I liked all the color around this movie. I do believe I like the color around this movie. I think that there had some issues with some things.
Main characters?
Yeah, the main
so
characters.
That's my favorite thing about watching bloopers in movies, because you can tell the relationship between the actors by watching that gag reel at the end. There's not a single shot of Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts enjoying themselves, having a laugh, someone messing up a line, the other one sort of smiling. There was not a single piece of footage that they could use to show like, oh, these two people could stand being in a room together.
Their meet cute, or not their meet cute, but their like falling in love montage is my favorite thing, where they clearly got the rights to shoot at like a festival, like a San Gennaro feast or something like that. And all they do is try on different Italian stereotypes shirts. It's like, what are you looking at? My flags? And there's like little Italian flags over both breasts. And it's like, I'm the real Italian stallion. And it's like, my macaroni is always al dente. You know, it's like just like real, like, and they're just like, oh my gosh, these are great. Like, they love those shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like they almost love those shirts more than they love each other.
For sure. For sure. Well, he's like, get up early in the morning. I'm picking you up. And then he picks her up at like dawn to bring her to a street festival.
A street festival?
So they can buy t-shirts.
Away.
And then they go and blow up fruit, vegetables rather, again, at the old man's.
And leave him a gift basket.
But then they leave him a gift basket.
But then.
He's like, what is this?
They don't see water. And unlike gremlins, they drive right towards it to get wet again on that bike. To get wet. And then they go at that.
Just so they can go home and take their clothes off, I assume. Like, I assume in Canada, maybe this is Canadian, actually. In Canada, people can only get naked if their clothes have been soaked through.
There's no other reason
It's more pure.
Which maybe makes sense as to why, on a non-summer day, when they said it was cold out, the fire hydrant was out and going.
Well, let's listen to
their. People in Canada have to like get in the bath with their clothes on, then take them off to then get in the shower.
There's gonna be such a Reddit thread of Canadian fans of the show.
We're just drawing conclusions based on what we saw about your movie.
I'm trying to understand with an open heart and open mind.
We want to understand your culture.
They love Starbucks. We know that.
Oh, that was crazy.
I couldn't even follow that Starbucks run.
I mean, the Starbucks thing. They're addicted to caramel lattes?
Yes. Andrea Martin drinks a number
17 of them?
Lattes that, I'm not even kidding, would hospitalize her.
Yeah, there were 10.
She is too old for that much caffeine. That table. That was unsettling.
And they react to Starbucks as if, again, to June's point, it was just invented. Like, what is this new coffee place in town?
Oh, two more! Everybody's going, oh my God, two more. Everybody sounds like it's Mario Brothers. Like, I feel like the director sent everybody Mario Brothers an accent.
Research.
Well, speaking of a cornerstone for their accent.
Speaking of Mario Brothers, let's talk about Luigi.
Sure.
The Asian man who has a very thick Italian accent. And the entire time I'm like, okay, are they not going to even, broach this? And then they do, and here you go.
Those sound like excuses of a man who's not being honest with himself, huh? Que pale.
I'm not being honest with myself.
Can you pause for a second? Luigi, again, is not Italian. And even the Italians in this movie speak with so much incidental actual Italian in their dialogue. They are peppering. Oh, yeah, you work the peppers.
They are peppering
all of their sentences with real Italian words, it doesn't make any sense. Well, it just doesn't make, I grew up in a family where people spoke Greek and they never would just insert Greek words.
Nope. I'm the same way. But listen to what's going on here on the accent, the story. So we have this man, an Asian man, who has thick Italian accent, which you just heard a little bit of. And listen to this.
Look, I'm not trying to be mean or nothing, all right? But have you looked at yourself in the mirror? Luigi, your real name is Li Xiaoping. You're Chinese, bro. When are you going to be honest with yourself that you're not even Italian?
Is that accordion?
You know, when I told my dad I was gay, he threw me out of the house.
Are you still be my friend? Luigi, come on. You think I wouldn't be your friend just because, what, you like guys? So what?
No, because I'm not Italian.
Okay.
I
mean,
you're Chinese, bro.
This reveal that Luigi is gay plays very late in the movie. Luigi is a side character that doesn't really even deserve this treatment. Very fun. Liked him in the movie a lot. But when he reveals he's gay, I'm like, my jaw dropped. I was like,
really?
Because I was like, where is this? What is going on?
I love this as a double reveal. Because I, up until this point, assumed he was just an Italian man.
You thought this was like Gene Simmons in that movie
This guy's just Italian. This Chinese man is just Italian. And then once he has this reveal that he's gay, he is flamboyantly gay for the rest of the movie.
Oh, yeah. He finally comes out. Oh, my gosh. People, you're probably saying to yourself, Paul, what do you love more in life? Do you love your children or do you love your websites that you made with Squarespace? And you know what? The answer is simple. Squarespace. I love Squarespace because I can turn my dreams into reality. Yes, I said it. Okay, because Squarespace makes my life easy. I have a passion project. It's going online. I want to put my blog up there. I want to put my shirts up there. I want to put my drawings up there. Here's the thing, people. If you're not on the web, if you don't have a web presence, guess what? Someone else dictates it for you. That weird picture that you have, that's going to be up forever unless you create your own website. You create the narrative. You're on a dating site, guess what? They're going to Google you. So why not be the front line of how people perceive you? And that's what I love. And you can do it easier than ever because Squarespace has these beautiful templates. With a few clicks, you can make a beautiful website about yourself. I don't know. Plus, it can even sell things with their functional e-commerce site that allows you to, you know, see who's buying what and grow your business in real time. It's mobilized for your phone right out of the box, so everything looks great. There's not an upgrade or patch ever, and buying domains are simple, and you'll get the help that you need with Squarespace's 24/7 award-winning customer support. Squarespace, it empowers millions of people, from designers to lawyers to artists to gamers, and even me! But no, seriously, whatever business you're in, you need a website. So go to squarespace.com/bonkers for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/bonkers, offer code BONKERS. Do we ever find out who they're talking to? I know this is a small point, but like narration always, I think. All right, so it is to us. It wasn't to Jane Seymour. I thought that maybe may have told her the whole story when she showed up at the wedding. I also thought that Jane Seymour was at their new restaurant. Did not realize it was a wedding and did not realize
it was
that,
a wedding.
Oh yeah, it was the wedding.
Their wedding?
Yeah, because they're dancing.
No,
and
not
she goes,
their
I'm
wedding.
Oh no,
the grandparents' wedding.
Okay. Wait, at Pizza Organica?
Yes. Pizza Organica.
At Pizza Organica, at the end of the movie when Jane Seymour is there, that's a wedding?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
That you thought it was like the opening of a restaurant.
That's what I assumed.
And she's just, Jane Seymour is now a part of this wedding. Like, she's crashed the wedding.
So let me get this straight.
You probably thought it was the opening of the restaurant because there's 5 million signs that say Organica.
Pizza Organica.
Because finally they are bringing organic ingredients
to
pizza.
But if you are having a wedding, hosting a wedding for your grandparents to get married, do you need that much signage?
Also,
literally on every table there's a giant sign.
Also, like,
they were still open for business. They were still open for delivery.
So they had paying customers.
Delivery takeout.
How long has it taken to get Pizza Organica up and running, right?
So I think both dads must have sold their shops.
Sure.
And they took over that corner to make a bigger restaurant.
I think
restaurant
they just knocked out the middle wall.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But they handed
they
their business
it.
Over. They redid it.
And then how long?
I think they're up and running because the kitchens are still there. I mean, again, I'd love to talk to Marcus about this, but the kitchens are still there. They knock out a wall.
But it looks like they set up a new bar, a real nice
that's
new
really,
bar.
That's
like
right. Centerpiece I'm saying 6 months.
6 months? Okay, that's very short.
But it also seems like the two Indian workers are meeting each other for the first time.
Also
and,
interesting.
Yeah, so, but then there's no employee training.
So it takes 6 months to like build it out and get it ready and do all the work to get it. They've got a Pizza Organica neon sign outside.
Now
you're telling
already
me.
Know, people in the community already know this. There's pizza there.
Jane Seymour has arrived to beg Emma Roberts to come back and work for her because I don't know what. But you're saying like she's allowed 6 months to pass?
Well, but she did say that the other chef she put in charge
did hire someone else.
She hired the other guy and then he gave the critic like a diarrhea.
Oh, so much diarrhea
so
in
much
this
diarrhea
movie.
So much diarrhea in this
movie. Which, by the way, I don't mind.
But by the way, And I appreciate that about you. You really look kindly. You throw a kind eye
at
a
what?
Diarrhea.
Here's
film.
What I want in a movie. I want a believable love story. I want colorful side characters. And then I want hot, wet dumps.
Now, June, can I ask you a question? Because maybe I'm misremembering this. But at the end of the movie, right before the credits hit, I thought they were at Pizza Organica. They are having a wedding. Jane Seymour's there. There's a dance. There's a lot going on. And then a man fully in Indian garb gets up and says, "Hey, everybody, get the fuck out of here."
So that's a part of the gag reel.
Yeah.
Oh,
so that
okay.
was the first clip from the gag reel. Indian restaurant.
Wait, when did
that
they go
was
to
from
oh,
that from like the, sensual curry restaurant or whatever the
yes,
fuck that
okay.
was?
Remember when
we need
to
talk about the reefer.
Can I? Oh, we need to talk about the reefer. We need to talk about the policewoman who like felt up. Every woman in this movie acts like Hayden Christensen is the single greatest looking man in history.
And that's what's troubling. I do think, I do think that the hair and makeup department on this movie should be taken out into a field and shot.
A Canadian field?
Yes, a giant Canadian field.
A giant Canadian field.
Halfway through the movie, they started to spray tan him because they were looking at the dailies and were like, oh, something is very, very wrong here. But I have to leave.
June does have to leave. June, any final thoughts before you go?
No, I mean, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. No, listen, we stopped the movie a number of times to just do things, and we had a couple of errands to run. So it was a real stop-start experience. This movie felt like 5 hours long.
It's an hour and 40 minutes, and it just is long.
I stopped it at one point to be like, well, I must be near the end, and I was not 22 minutes
in. That's when we stopped it, too.
That 22-minute mark is – those 22 minutes are –
And then from 22 long. To 20, it feels so long because we stopped it twice. Like, still 20 minutes?
Yep.
Thank you, June.
There are so many things, well, June, Jason, that I want to know your opinion on. Do you think the grandparents were having sex in the church up until they got caught? Is that like where they go to fuck?
No, I feel like they were. Yeah, they were very pure.
Okay. How crazy, just because I want very quick June reactions off of these things, when at the pizza contest, when they finish the contest, Emma Roberts pulls, like he wins, she lets him win, she walks off stage, her suitcase is there, there's a cab waiting.
A
yellow cab waiting. When she gets to the airport, she's had a full wardrobe change. She's now in, like, a pink flouncy dress. Like, what's... anyway, sorry.
And what kind of a traveling outfit was that?
Yes. Well,
I may have a lot to say about her costumes, but I don't know if I have to save it for a mini.
June's got to run. She's a professional businesswoman. See you later, June.
June.
All this talk, though, makes me go, like, there is no real reason, though, that you needed to say it was Canada. Right? I mean, there's nothing in this movie that's specifically Canadian. Like, they could have faked it.
I think they contractually had to for some reason.
I guess Air Canada did give them a lot of money.
It must be, wait a minute, is this one of those Canadian, is Hayden Christian Canadian? Christensen? It might be one of those, like, did the Canadian Film Board make this movie?
Like a Gooby-esque kind of
like
thing.
Like their money, so they had
he
to.
He is a Canadian actor and producer.
Yeah, this is adding up. Okay. This is adding
yes,
up.
All right, all right. And then I think the writer might also be, this is a real
Canadian. Now we're getting into
it. By the way, they really have to make a big deal out of it.
I bet that's why it's so specifically Canadian.
Oh, and the writer is also Canadian.
Yeah, see? Now
Vinay Vermani. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is, okay, all right.
So
okay.
I think they had to. I think that was. I bet that is part of it. And which
financed
is,
by the Canadian government.
Yeah. Yes. Basically, because they have the Canadian government has a film board that basically finances movies
right.
to be shot in Canada that have a certain amount of Canadian performers in them. Yes. All the rest. We can. Yes. I'm sure talk to our. I'm sure a lot of Canadian people are going to weigh in on all of this on the message board.
We need to get into it deeply. There was one, or I'd say two, really funny performances. I love the mortuary guy.
Sure.
He was very funny.
Comes in straight up grabbing his dick.
And sniffing a heel.
Yep. Great. Ooh, look at that big toe.
Another performance I really liked was the female police officer who's kind of accosting Hayden Christensen.
It's all a big mistake. It's all just a...
Hands against the wall. Shut up and spread them.
Oh my God, that is... Your carton guns, mister? You didn't declare that you had two amazing man guns. You hiding anything else? Oh, what have you got here? A six-pack. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's eight. I'm going to go south now, okay?
Hey, now.
You packing heat here, mister? My God. Were you breastfed? Is there anything in your pockets that might be sharp or hard or pokey in any way?
But that was, like, from a different movie.
Yes.
That was, like, from a different movie where
because
she's
she
just,
wasn't
like,
high.
She wasn't high. She hadn't eaten the pizza. Oh, so at one point... The prank war. Yeah, during the prank war between the now, the former best friend's competitive pizza owner dads, one of the dads replaces the other one.
Oregano.
The other one's oregano with weed.
And by the way, when you see the cut to that weed, that's a lot
that's
of
like
weed.
That's like thousands of dollars worth of weed.
And so that guy had to go buy that on an illegal market and then grind, like the amount of time you're grinding
probably,
it.
You know, he probably mixed it in with oregano just so it wasn't totally, I bet it's a subtle, but then they feed weed to all of their patrons, But the patrons are then acting as if the weed is like ecstasy or peyote.
I mean, I was like, oh, is it mushrooms? They put magic. Because look, Jason, I've never smoked weed. I know you have never smoked weed.
I don't believe in it.
And so the idea that you would see these people reacting, I would say this is the most truthful performance of weed.
Like an old woman is atop one of the tables dancing erotically. Like weed doesn't make you like horny and want to dance on tables. No. I don't think, again, I've never tried it.
And no, and I've never tried it either. I just watch movies to let me see how people would react to
exactly.
It. But there's so many issues with that. Also, they're packed.
We
that
need
day.
Seth Rogen on this podcast.
My goodness gracious.
It was like, that was itself, but I didn't mind. See, that was the stuff that I was like, I don't mind prank wars between.
I love it.
Like if the story had been more about the rival pizza, and I liked like stuff like, I liked that the wives of the warring best friends were still friends,
yes.
And would have secret, but they had like glasses of red wine in the planters.
But it was a poured red wine. Not like they don't keep a bottle in there.
No, they have pre-poured glasses of red wine hidden outside in planters.
And they put it back in.
Then they put it back in as if like, well, I'll come back later and have this plant wine.
Oh, did you remember that scene where Luigi goes, he calls him Bad Rocky or some of that? Or no. He says like, now you have to be Rocky.
Yes.
But they reference it earlier too because they play a Rocky theme, but they clearly couldn't afford the Rocky.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Oh, it's an amazing theme here. Take a listen.
Andiamo to the field! Ricky versus Leo, the rematch! It's gonna get messy, people! Okay, listen up! Okay! Ricky blocks a shot, Leo does a shot! Hey! Leo scores, Ricky does a shot! Hey!
It's just like one beat off.
It's just off. There is so many weird, all of the, how about this? How about when the flight attendant scene happens, Emma Roberts shows up at Hayden Christensen's house to play soccer, right?
Yes.
Ding dong, she rings the bell. Cab pulls up, flight attendant comes out, ding dong, she rings the same bell. Uh-oh, two girls here to see the same guy.
Right.
Great. The guy comes down. Hayden Christensen's like, oh, Lisa, oh my God, hey, good to see you, to the flight attendant, and is like, all right, go on inside.
Yeah.
And then, so the blonde goes upstairs into his apartment for, like, future Bone Zone.
Yeah. Get ready for me.
And now Nikki is like, Emma Roberts, rather, is like, okay, so I guess I'll see you later. And he's like, no, how about dinner tomorrow night? And my place right here where I'm going to fuck this girl tonight, you come tomorrow night and I'll make you food. I'll make you food tomorrow night. Tonight, not good because you just saw that girl go up there. I'm going to fuck that girl.
He's a ladies' man.
But tomorrow, I got to remember to wash my sheets. But okay, anyway, tomorrow you come over and she's like, yeah, okay, I'll come over. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
This is, I mean, she shouldn't be with him. She should go. I was rooting for her to go back to London. And there's a point
yes,
in the movie.
Yes, go back to London. Go back to London. Be a chef.
You are killing it over there. And there's a moment where she says, like, you're never going to leave. She never asks him to leave. He never says he can't leave.
If Marcus Lemonis was giving these people advice,
yes.
He would say to her, go to London. Go to London. And if you want to come back later, having learned everything you need to learn, come back later.
He could say to her, look,
this family is trying to destroy you.
The pizza market in Canada is not strong enough for you to give up your career from a very high-priced culinary institute.
I'm Marcus Lemonis, and I'm pulling up to, what the hell is this? Wait, where am I? Did I pass through a portal back in time?
Am I in Italy? No, Marcus, you're in Little Italy. I would love...
If they stopped him from driving his new car, they're like, no, we have to give you a car from the 70s to drive into Little Italy.
I would love that they would have made, like, a full, like, crossover promotion, like, The Prophet goes to Little Italy. Like, but it's just like, and it's all like, they have to all be their characters. No one's psyched. It's like the Star Wars holiday special, but with Marcus Lemonis.
And he's like, what happened? You guys, wait a minute. So you're telling me the guy next door used to be your best friend? So I went across the street and I talked to Vinny.
Now, what they don't realize is he's got the sauce, but he's got the crust. And together, they make a great pizza. Now,
they can't let their personal problems get in the way of what I'm not kidding is the best pizza I've ever tasted.
Now, I'm going to go to my lighting guy. You remember him from season one. He's going to put new light fixtures in, make this place look really shining.
Remember when I met with those people that make plastic units for displaying things? What a great way to sell merch.
Now, you know when we reconfigured those small RVs to be portable homes? We're going to make that into a food truck.
How about Little Italy Tiny Homes? How about Tiny Homes Italy?
By the way, instead of an app, they should have done a food truck.
Yes!
Like,
why not? I mean, obviously do a food truck. The movie came out last year.
Last year. Jason, do you want to know what the tagline for this movie was? Three generations, two families, one forbidden love.
Ooh.
But it's wrong.
It's
because
not.
It's three generations, two families, two forbidden loves.
Correct.
I don't want to give short shrift to Danny Aiello and Andrea Martin, who I really enjoyed in this movie.
Oh, I thought their stuff was the most, had the most actual chemistry.
Yeah.
Like they had, their scenes together were both funny and like very sweetly romantic in a way that the movie, this is a romantic comedy, but the two leads don't have any chemistry or any palpable kind of energy between them.
I mean, look, I just, to use the terms of the film, I felt that their chemistry was vente.
Yeah.
And I felt like Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts was tall.
Oh, interesting. Grande?
Grande, yeah. Grande.
Or Trente? Or I don't know, like whatever the... No, I'm sorry. You're going the opposite way.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I thought you were...
No, Vente, yes. Vente and tall. That's what I kind of see. I mean, and my other question is, did Starbucks pay to get in on this?
They because had to have. They can't have
they
that
shot
much Starbucks.
Scenes.
Exterior Starbucks, interior Starbucks, Starbucks cups, so many Starbucks scenes. And it's only, they only discover, so interesting, they
this
only
like,
discover Starbucks when they are discovered flirting in the
confessional.
And the priest kicks them out, and then they discover Starbucks.
By the way, this is like, you know, when George Lucas and Steven Spielberg got together to make Raiders, you know, it's like, oh, well, these two great guys together. And that's how I kind of feel about this movie. Air Canada and Starbucks coming together to make a move.
To make great content. Two of our greatest content providers.
Jason, obviously, we had some strong opinions about this movie. There are people out there with another opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
That is John LaJoie with his second opinion theme, which I love.
Thank you,
so
John.
Much. So good. Okay.
And I want to just reiterate to everybody out there, if you want to write a second opinion song, please send it in to us. We love to play it.
We have tons and tons of them.
And
we
if you're a band, if you're a new band, if you're a band, if you're an old band, if you're a band that likes, if you're a band that listens to this show in the bus, on the in the van, on the jet, wherever you are, if you then write us a song. What
Here
the fuck? What the fuck, Silver Sun Pickups? You fucks know you're listening.
I talked to him about it. Here's the thing, though, people. If you're going to submit anything, 28 seconds is the perfect length.
Yep.
28 seconds and under. So take the pressure off yourself.
And guess what? If you've got a record coming out, we'll say this
we'll
song
do
was done
thing.
By them, and we'll tell those people about your dumb record. You
Jason,
turds.
Jason, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. As of today, which is Halloween, there are only 42 reviews total for the film. 55% 5 stars. And so I don't have many to read, but I have these two. This is from Sean Amadon, and it was written just a couple of days ago. My wife really enjoyed this movie. I, however, thought it was okay. But since my wife is always right, I give it a 10 out of 10. 5 stars.
Great.
So that was the first one. This one is written by Marilyn Campbell. As an actual culinary arts grad,
oh boy,
I truly appreciated the aspects that almost every food-related show completely ignores. And while some of it comes off as a joke, it makes it way more realistic and delicious. Yum.
Ew.
First of all, there isn't that much food talk in this movie.
Very little, in fact.
I mean, basically, she just says that pears cut down the acidity of cheese.
The figs. Figs.
And I guess smushing the tomato like a, but don't do it like a man. I mean, not much.
Yeah, very little.
She continues to go, the competitions, the family feuds, the families loving each other through the feuds, the multi-generational connections, because that is family. I love all of the fantastic quotes. Are there fantastic quotes in this movie? Yeah,
I would love to know what those are.
And I want to remember them all. I can barely remember a line from this film. I'm just so glad I decided to rent this. A new favorite. Great job all around. 5 stars. Wow. That's all I got. That's all I got.
Tough stuff.
It is. And so, like I said, this movie came out September 21st. It's 102 minutes. It's rated R.
For what?
No, maybe it, cursing?
I guess cursing, but there really isn't even much cursing.
Just that kind of awkward ass shot of that one guy.
Of Luigi. Luigi's butt, but like... Emma Roberts is in a bra at one point, but that's...
But a very tasteful...
But, like, totally very... Yeah. Not very... And it's not very sexually... Nothing very sexually. Like, there's just some kissing.
Do you think it's because they squeeze those tomatoes so hard?
Yeah, probably.
opening weekend was...
Is it a Canadian R or an American R?
Canadian R is Canadian. Is this when they stay out after 6 o'clock? Oh, well, this movie has them out at night.
They're out at dark, you know, so this is an R-rated movie. We don't want kids to see this.
We really should have had Seth on this episode. He could have answered a lot of our questions about Canada.
Guys, Canada, we'd love to come and do live shows in your country so we can understand what the fuck you guys are up to.
We really needed an
audience.
How did
this get made in Little Italy, Canada? Set it up, dummies.
Oh, my God. So the budget, the opening weekend, it made about...
I would redo this movie in Little Italy, Canada.
I'm typing it in right now. Little Italy,
Canada. I think it's probably Toronto.
All right, Little Italy.
I bet a bunch of cities have Little Italies.
Right. Well, Toronto, yeah. Sometimes referred to as College Street West, it's a district in Toronto that's known for its Italian-Canadian restaurants and businesses. I'm looking at it. They got a little movie theater there. By the way, it does not look like the place where they shot this thing here. And there's a statue of Johnny Lombardi on the street, who launched Canada's first multicultural radio station Little Italy.
Oh, nice.
Look at this. Movies filmed nearby.
Yeah.
Police Academy.
Kay.
Scott Pilgrim and the World, Versus the World. The Long Kiss Goodnight. The TV series Beauty and the Beast.
Little Italy?
And near Canadian Little Italy.
But not this movie, Little Italy.
No, not this. This is not listed. No.
Interesting.
Italians arrived in Toronto in large numbers during the 20th century, and they settled in the area known as the Ward. By the 1920s, most Italians had moved west, and the city emerged as Little Italy.
Greeks, very similar. Lots of Greeks in Toronto. Lots of Greeks immigrated to Toronto. It's like one of the largest Greek cities in the world is Toronto.
Really? Oh, I did not know that.
Yep.
And one of the big tourist attractions there is the Italian Walk of Fame, which has noteworthy Italian Canadians.
Interesting.
Which I'm now just going to go there and just find out who those are. I don't see any ones that you would immediately recognize.
Oh boy.
Okay. So the movie made $200,000 on the opening weekend. No one knows what the budget is. It's already up to about $1 million, but not yet at $1 million. The movie came in number 241 of all the movies released in the last 365 days. The top three of this year, Black Panther, Avengers, Infinity War, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. It was beaten by The Meg, and it beat nothing. So there you go, people. This is Little Italy. Jason, any final thoughts?
This is some pretty wild stuff. I would watch it just because of how, like, how much of a parody of one of these movies it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're the way the movie starts, especially. I would watch, like, I wouldn't watch this movie, but I would maybe watch the first half hour just to see how they're aping all of those old school, like, you know, that's back when you can ride your bikes all around town. This is our Little Italy.
I do think it's a movie that's good to ride fast forward, because when you see something interesting, if you stop it, it probably is
something
worth
interesting
it.
Might be happening. Yeah. But it's not worth it through. To fully
no.
watch.
No. Even an hour and 40 minutes.
No, it's rough. It's rough. But there is some very funny stuff. Some good performances by a lot of the supporting people.
Enjoy the movie. Stay for the blooper reel, which I'm always a fan of.
I can't believe the guy that did Mystic Pizza made this movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real... I mean, clearly that was the connection that they wanted. Yeah. I mean, Emma Roberts, too. It's like... This is the new Mystic Pizza. This is the new. I mean, is it the new Mystic Pizza? Yes. I don't know. If it is, who's Annabeth Gish?
Right. I mean, the girl with the diarrhea kid, I think.
All right, people. Jason, your movie right now is out.
Yes, The Long Dumb Road. It is out now in Los Angeles, in New York, in Austin, I believe.
It's also available on
and
VOD.
It is on VOD. You go to iTunes right now. It's called The Long Dumb Road. It is a movie that I am, like, the star. Me and
you
Tony Revolori are the stars of this movie.
From Spider-Man Homecoming Grand Budapest Hotel.
Exactly. If you like me, if you think I'm funny on this show, on other shows, please go and rent or buy this movie. It would mean so much to me. That would be amazing. I need people to see this movie. And also, it's genuinely very funny.
It's a great movie directed by Hannah Fadel. Check it out. I will tell you that June is continuing to be on Grace and Frank. You can check that out whenever you want. And right now, I guess I can tell you, you could listen to Unspooled, which is a podcast I've been doing with Amy Nicholson on the side, which has been a really fun experience.
So this was not an episode of Unspooled.
Well, I think... Here's the thing. AFI hasn't updated their top 10 list for 10 years.
Okay.
So I'm predicting in the next year or so they will. And then this will be just
this movie will be on stream. It. Yeah. And so this will retroactively become an episode of Unspooled.
Yes, 100%. Okay, good. All right, people. Big thanks to Devin, our engineer, and everybody here at Earwolf. We will see you next time. Kumite. Hey, everybody, this is Paul. A little bit later than we recorded the Little Italy episode, just to remind you that Grace and Frankie, a brand new season, is available on Netflix. June is killing it in that show. And my new show, Black Monday, in which I am in it with Don Cheadle, Regina Hall, and Andrew Rannells, is right now on Showtime. The pilot is still up for free. That's right, it's up for free on YouTube. And you can even go to Showtime.com and use the offer code Black Monday to get 30-day free trial on me. That's right, Paul's giving you a free Showtime access. Get in on it. Enjoy it. I think the show is really, really funny, and it's dark. It's kind of like Happy Endings meets Better Call Saul. How about that? And of course, Jason's film, The Long Dumb Road, is still available on video on demand. If you have not seen it, definitely check it out. And that is all for this week. I want to give a big shout out and thank you to Avril Halley for pulling all these amazing clips, Nate Kiley for doing all this research, Cody for doing all the producing side, Kelly Alto, and Devin in the booth. We have a great time here, and next week we will see you for a mini episode where we will discuss everything that we didn't discuss here today. So give us a call at 818-PAUL-ASK to leave your questions about your life, your love, your job, whatever you want, or just to talk about this film. We are ready to hear from you on our How Did This Get Made mini episode. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Reza Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast, Wow, You're Native American Too?, This Week in Sports, and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.